Psalm 106, verses 13 through 15 in the Amplified. But they hastily forgot his works. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. Look at that. This is talking about Israel. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted and tried to restrain God with their insistent desires in the desert. And he gave them their request. There's something you need to see in the Bible. He gave them what they lusted after. In other words, even though it wasn't his perfect will, gave them their request, but sent leanness into their souls and thinned their numbers by disease and death. Well, it really wasn't God that sent it. It was that they opened the door. They actually did that by their lust. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this tonight, if it's okay, because we got to look some more about, letting God. Because notice, I like the way this verse 13 says, They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. You know, God has a plan for each of our lives, but it doesn't come to pass. All that plan is not fulfilled overnight. We've got to be okay with that. We've got to realize, like the Lord said to me one time, this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Because I was in high school, I was a sprinter, and I wanted to do everything right now. You know, I'm just a burst of energy out of the blocks. And I was taking that and putting that into my spiritual life. That mentality was a part of my spiritual life, and I wanted to have, I didn't think I had time to go to Bible school because, the world's going to hell. I need to get everybody saved, Don't have time to go to Bible school. Well, except I didn't know a thing, I didn't know what I was talking about. I wasn't taught anything in church, You understand? So, but he has a plan, and he had a plan for me, he has a plan for you. And concerning me, that plan, it took him time to develop that. Now, it really didn't take him time as much as he has to wait for me to respond to all the things that have to be in order for that to come to pass. And we'll look at that tonight. Amen. Do you realize that a lot of times things that God wants to do in our lives, they take time, not because it takes God time, but it takes us time to renew our minds to what that will even is, to begin with. You just got to start right there. And then we've got to crucify our flesh, because a lot of times our flesh doesn't want to do that plan. Then we got to consecrate ourselves to do that plan, and that takes time. Don't look at me like that. I've had to work things out. Remember the Bible said it's he that works in you? And he said, work it out. There's things you got to work out. Well, your flesh will rise up and say, I don't necessarily want to do that. Amen. Every now and then I've looked up and I thought, oh my goodness, the word Jonah's written over my head. No, I'm not Jonah. I'm not Jonah. You got to put your foot to your flesh. So you got to consecrate yourself to do his will. Then you got to grow spiritually. Because, if God fully manifested his whole plan in your life right now, you'd think you was a humdinger. Somebody'd have to come along and prophesy to you. Thus saith the Lord, thou thinkest thou art a humdinger, but thou art not a humdinger, thou art only a dinger. Go ahead and laugh. It's funny. So you have to grow spiritually so you don't get in pride whenever he does. Because his plan's big. How many of you believe his plan for you is real big? And it's grand and it's powerful and it's glorious. But, if it all happened right now, we'd say, whoo, look at me. Whoa, Brother Rainier, look. And that pride just send us right to hell, Or send the plan, not us. Send the plan. So we have to grow spiritually. And then we got to lay some things aside that would hinder us running that race. And that's another at least 3 years. Yeah. It doesn't have to be near 3 years, but I'm just saying how we operate sometimes. You can do that real quick, so don't tell them. I'm not saying that it takes you 3 years. I'm just messing with you because it takes. We've all done that before sometimes. I mean, we've grumbled and complained about what he's dealing with us about for you know, week after week after month after year after year. And finally we go, all right, because our way isn't working out. So we got to lay those things aside. And then we got to develop our faith to even believe God can use us that way. Because a lot of us think, oh, there's no way he could use me that way. And then we got to develop our character. Amen. So there's just a lot of things that it takes time. Now, go back here to Psalm 106:13. They did not earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. You know, God will put things in your heart sometimes even decades ahead or before they come to pass. Amen. But then the reason he does that, he's got to get us to be enlarged enough on the inside so that we can receive it. You understand that he'll plant something in your heart, but he'll do it way before it's time for it to manifest. And a lot of times he does that to give us time to get ready for it. Now, what we do with that time determines whether we're going to ever see it or not. Amen. So in order to walk out a plan that God has you for, in fact, the Lord said to me one time, the greatest faith projects of your life will take the rest of your life. See, the greatest faith project of your life won't be receiving a healing here or there. It's going to be continuing to walk out God's plan and being continually more and more of a supply to the things God has for you to do or has to the work of God, has for you to do in the work of God. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. So we first of all got to find out what that plan is. Luke 8:22 is one of my favorite verses along that line. It says that Jesus said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Luke 8. Did I say 18? I meant to say 8. Luke 8, verse 22. He said, let us go over to the other side of the He went into ship and said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. Say, they launched forth. They didn't just launch forth. They waited for direction before they launched forth. So for God's plan to develop in our life, first of all, we have to know what that is before we can even launch forth. And you find that out through prayer, fellowship with God. Isn't that right? And developing sensitivity of heart. But then whenever it's revealed what that plan is, then you got to bring your faith to it. And you got to step out, especially when you know it's time. Do you plan to stay where you are right now? We're all supposed to progress. Remember, run with patience. The race is set before us. The end of this year, we should be further down the course of our race than we were at January 1st. We should be continually progressing. We should be growing spiritually. And so that's what we are to bring our faith to. And we've got to, first of all, know what that plan is. You realize you can use your faith for something that is not exactly God's plan? Do you realize faith works? Sometimes we say, well, we tell people, just stand on the Word. Okay, which part? It's a big book. You know, which verse do I stand on? You've got to take how God's leading you in your heart and make a stand on that, not just pull something out of the Bible willy-nilly, you know, and say, well, I'm going to believe God for this. You realize God has something in mind. Not only does God have a plan for you and I's life, He has a way to bring that to pass. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to know that you want God's best plan. And you not only want His best plan, you want the way He wants to bring it to pass. Because I've found that the course that He takes me on, everything that He's doing in my life now is making me useful now, but it is also preparation for what he's going to be having me do in the future. And if I don't follow his way of getting there, I won't be prepared because I went my own way to get there. Are you still there? You realize, though, some things won't pull you off of his plan or negatively affect that plan. I know recently concerning the situation, well, I'll go ahead and say it, the situation concerning our house. God actually laid out two options before us and let us choose. And he told me what would happen if we went this way and then the difference it would make if we went this way. But he left it up to us. Yeah, he did. He left it up to us. Because some things don't affect the plan of God negatively. You understand? Other things, he won't deal with you that way. You know, whether you pull something out of the air, whether you buy a white refrigerator or a black refrigerator. What do you like? What matches your house? Hello. I'm making that up, just something, you know, that doesn't really matter. But there's some things, there's several different ways you could get into some things. You understand? But you should always ask him for insight into what he would say would be best. And he might turn around and say, I'll leave that up to you. You can go either way. If you go this way, this will happen this way. If you go this way, this will happen this way. And he might say, leave it up to you. But other times he might say, I would prefer if you went about it this way. And so it'd be important to listen to that because you'll come out better in that direction than you will your own direction. Amen. Is it all right if we get a little practical here tonight? And the thing I love about the Lord is that he sees what's best for you and he knows how to fulfill his plan and also work in you what is necessary for you to be able to stay in that plan all at the same time. So if we'll follow not only his will, but his way of getting into it, we'll be fully prepared when we get there. Yeah. Fully prepared when we get there. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be fully prepared? You want to be fully built right on the inside when you get to the place where God ultimately has in mind for your life. Hallelujah. So find out his mind and for you and his direction and also find out his timing and you won't struggle so much in faith. Because when you know you're doing his plan and you're doing it his way, you know where the plan originated and you're never, you know, second guessing. Well, maybe I shouldn't have gone this direction. You know, realize if you don't settle what the plan is and how God's leading you to get into it, every time the devil comes up, sticks his head up to hinder you, you're always going to go back to reach back to where God spoke to you because faith comes by hearing. And you're not going to be sure, what did God say? But if you know what he said, I'm not moving. Wavering is not being sure what God said. Amen. So first, know what his plan is. Luke 8:22. Jesus said what to do, and they launched forth. They didn't try to do something else. They did exactly what he said. Amen. So, but the time between him putting something in your heart, it coming to pass, can be a long period of time sometimes. Now, I'm not talking about healing. That's redemptive. That's right now. But I'm talking about walking out his plan for your life in service to the work of God and so forth. Sometimes that takes time to come to pass. So during that time, don't get in the mental, amen, and start when you see nothing happening. Don't try to force your way ahead of God, amen, and be out there in no man's land all by yourself. Jesus said to Brother Hagin one time, I'd rather you, the best is just stay right in step with me, but if you're going to be ahead or behind me, I'd rather you be behind me because at least you can see me. You can see where to go. But if you get ahead, you can't see me. You're out there blazing the path yourself, you know. So praise the Lord. You know, zeal's good, but zeal with knowledge is better. Having that real knowledge of what God's saying, amen. And just being excited about something doesn't equal God's will. Your flesh can get excited about something. Your mind can. My cat, for example. Well, actually, I should rephrase that. Pastor Debbie's cat. She loves the sound. I don't have any right here. Some is not as crinkly. And anybody got a cat? And when they hear plastic going like that, they just go wild. Huh? Some cats, our cat's that way. Whenever you are unwrapping something or unpacking something and that plastic's crunching and cracking or whatever, her little brain, something happens in that little. I mean, she comes over and she's wanting to play with it and all that stuff. It just fires her little brain up somehow. Well, human beings are that way. There's certain things that just fire their little brain up. And God's not even in it. It's the truth. You know, I just love to build buildings and let's go and build. Well, hey, wait. Did God say build a building? I'm kind of getting that in me. I'm starting to like building. You know, but there's different things people can have in them. It's their natural makeup. And when somebody wants to go that way, I mean, they're in 250%. They're ready to go. But God might not even be in it. It's just the animal instincts of, you know. Well, anyway, now that you're all happy about that, don't drag your family into something that God didn't talk to you about and drag them through something that you don't have the leading of the Spirit on, because what comes against you could bring your family into great heartache. Amen. All right, he gave them what they wanted. Psalm 106 says he gave them what they wanted, but it wasn't his plan. He can give you your request, but it'll send, like here, it'll send leanness, and it'll open the door for leanness in your soul. Skinny, scrawny, think thin things, not plump things. Lean blessings. Everything's, you know, unleaded, you know. Super low fat, nothing. I mean, just no good of the land, no fat of the land, nothing, just lean. Lacks in richness, lacks in fullness. You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't have any quality to it. I mean, it's just a little bit here and a little bit of blessing there, and people think that's just the way faith is. You just live with a little bit here and there. No. There's a phase beyond that. Amen. So learn to just stay with his plan. Come on now. I think some of you finally came to church. We've been in church for 20 minutes now. Yeah, preaching 20 minutes. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, there's something better. The devil would just love for you to, and in fact, he's just waiting for you to get out of God's perfect will so that he can start stealing and robbing from you. Remember, the Bible said there's the good, the acceptable, and the perfect. Let me tell you what the difference is between the perfect and second best. It's further than I can reach. It is huge difference. All right. Some of you weren't sure why you came to church tonight, but keep on reading. Then it says, they didn't earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. Look at James chapter number 5 with me tonight. Look at something I want you to see here. I'm sorry, I wrote James down. It's actually 1 Peter. I need to make a note here. It's 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 6 and 7, it says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may what? Is anybody awake tonight? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Okay, you came to church. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you tomorrow. No. By 10 a.m. In due time. You know, this congregation knows when due time is. It's after you thought it was. So, now humble yourself, and therefore, under the mighty hand of God, he'll exalt you in due time. Then this verse we always refer to, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Yeah. You know, we read that verse, and we're talking about the care of finances or the way our children are turning out or whatever. And that would be included because it said casting all your care, yes. Wasn't it? I mean, all is all. Yes. So that would be included. But I want you to notice the context. Yes, sir. The context is being exalted. Amen. Trust in God that as you stay humble before Him, He'll exalt you. He said, basically what he's saying is, keep the care and the anxiety of being exalted over on the Lord. Well, I'm waiting for my big break. I'm waiting for this. I'm waiting for that. Don't be anxious about it. Focus on being prepared. Focus on following the plan, doing what he's telling you to do right now. Isn't that what he's saying over in Psalm 106 in a roundabout way? They didn't earnestly wait for his plans to develop regarding them. In order to develop his plan, his plan to work through you and to work around you, he's got to do a work in you. Are you still glad you came? He's got to do a work in you. Isn't that right? To be able to work through us. In order to flow through us, he's got to build us right on the inside so that that flow is pure. The issue is we're often more willing for him to do a work through us than to do a work in us. Maybe come back Sunday. Maybe God will say, preach on prosperity or something. Maybe you'll get real stirred up. Real. This is in the Bible too, you know. We're oftentimes more willing for him to do a work through us than to do a work in us. But to accomplish his will of moving through us the way he wants, he has to redirect our attention to cooperation with his work in us. That's that preparation part. Amen. Our flesh is not usually keen to that idea, but that's just the way God does things. He prepares the vessel before he uses it. It's him that works in us, the will and to do of his good pleasure. I said, it's him that works in us. Have you been saying that? I've been saying that, I won't even say every day. I'll say more than one time. Every time I think about it. A lot of times I'll wake up in the morning now. Lord, I thank you. It's you that works. Because I'm in a transition time right now. Everything that used to be comfortable is not comfortable anymore.
Yeah, come on.
Amen.
And I love it. I used to get disturbed because I didn't know what was going on. I've been through this before. Now I know what's going on. And I say, Lord, just do that work. Do that work. Do that work. Do that work. I'm willing for you to work in me. I delight in that work you're doing in me. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, you can't go faster than grace can take you. We don't do a lot of this kind of preaching, but we got to do something tonight. You have to grow in your aptitude to move with God. I'm going to say that again. You and I have to grow in our aptitude to move with God. What is taking God so long? The real answer is us. He'll go at the pace we choose. The dangerous thing is choosing a pace that means you won't get across the finish line before you're out of here. We want to hear well done, not well. You're here. I see you've arrived. Or you weren't done. So, praise the Lord. So you've got to grow in your aptitude to process what he's doing in you and learn to flow with it and not kick against it. Kicking against it delays everything. It's evidence of an unrenewed mind, and that's what's taken so long. Yeah. Amen. You realize there's some things that a second grader doesn't have the aptitude to process? You realize that? They have to grow and get some things. You know, let's just take math. Sorry, Brother Andre, but, you know, math is, you got to grow and take the lower level of knowledge first. Get that down and then keep growing and keep learning. Second graders, they don't talk to him, to my knowledge, don't talk to him about calculus. No use even talking to him. They think you're talking about a calculator or something. Calculus? Oh, is that a calculator? But there's some things right now you're not going to understand either. God won't even talk to you about some things right now because you wouldn't understand it. He's got to wait for you and I to grow to talk to us about some things. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. And so if you grow, you'll understand. And guess what? If you grow, you'll get to the place he'll start talking to you about it. And when he does, you'll go, oh, oh, I'm so glad I kept growing, because I'd have never, I mean, just 10 years ago or whatever, I'd have croaked and I'd have ran so fast towards, I mean, away from Nineveh, you know. Ah, no, I'm out of here. Hallelujah. Don't ever decide his plan's not worth waiting on him to do the work in you. When I say waiting on him, I'm not talking about, you know, hurry up, God. When I say wait, I'm talking about doing what you need to cooperate with him. And the way he wants to do it. So it's worth it. His plan is worth it. Do you believe his plan is worth, it's worth everything? Do you believe his plan's the best plan? You have to believe that. You have to believe he's got the best plan that'll work for you, that your whole life will flourish. You'll be completely satisfied in your spirit, and you'll just be blessed, blessed, blessed. Your family blessed, children blessed, marriage blessed, finances blessed. Everything you do is blessed. Amen. Getting the right spouse is blessed. It's worth waiting for the right spouse if you're single. Amen. I think we talked on Sunday about going out to the meat market. If you don't continue to stay fast and keep developing your character, you're going to decide, well, God's taking too long. I'm going to go pick me a piece of flesh and marry him. But the thing about meat is it turns rank. Amen. All the single people said,
amen.
Nothing worse than spoiled meat. All right, go to Philippians chapter number 2 now. We've been quoting this, but Philippians chapter number 2, it says here in verses 13, and let's go to 12 and 13. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence, as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you don't know the whole counsel of God's word, you'll get confused by that. We don't work for our salvation. But let's read the next part, the next verse. For it is he which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's he that works in us, we work it out. So we're really working with him. Now notice, we're not working for our salvation. He did that in us, but we had to cooperate with that. And in the case of salvation, it was by faith. And it takes faith to continue to follow what he's working in you when your flesh doesn't want that. Your flesh has its own plans. For those of you that didn't say amen, I'll say amen for you. Your flesh has its own plans. I had my own plans. I did. I told everybody what they were. As he that sitteth in the heavens laughs, you know. How's that working out for you? Amen. Praise the Lord. So these verses really are, if not actually straight out saying it, I basically think it's straight out saying it, but if not straight out saying it, they're at least implying that God has to prepare us to fulfill his plan. Amen. But that God's plan's worked in us as we allow him to work in us to will and to do it. Well, what's taking so long? Ringy-dingy. It's us not cooperating with the working in us. You understand what we're talking about tonight? So Brother Hagin used to always say, preparation time's not wasted time. And that's very true. It's not wasted time. Now, but when it comes to preparation, Preparation time is not just the passing of time. It's the investing of time. What are you investing into? You're investing into what He wants to do in your future. What He wants to do. Are you still out there? People think just because time's passing that they're progressing and being prepared. No, not automatically. Not if you're not giving of your time for God to work in you. Amen. You're investing in your future in times of preparation. You realize Moses got ahead of God. Remember, he was born a Hebrew, but he was raised in Pharaoh's house as an Egyptian. Remember, he was found in the river, not Nile River, I guess, and was taken as Pharaoh's daughter's son. Because, his mother was a Jewish lady, and all the firstborn babies, male babies, were commanded to be killed. And but she didn't want him to die, so she put him in the basket in the bulrushes. Remember, Pharaoh's daughter found the baby and took him as her own. Well, he was raised as an Egyptian, but later on it came in his heart, found out he's a Hebrew, came in his heart to visit his people and found out they're being greatly oppressed. And remember, he saw an Egyptian oppressing a Jewish slave, and he looked around to see if anybody's looking and just killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. The next day, two Jewish men were striving together, it says. This is all in Exodus, chapter number 2 and 3. And the Bible said that he started telling them, hey, now stop this. And one of them said, well, what are you going to do, kill me like the Egyptian? And he goes, uh-oh, I didn't know anybody knew. I looked, but I didn't think anybody saw me. And he said, I have to get out of here. But see, he sensed what God's plan was for him. But he didn't let God work in him the how. Yeah. And got ahead of God and started doing it his own way. Yeah. See, and then got in trouble for it, and it delayed the whole thing.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you can get ahead of God and muddy up the waters.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
You got to let Him work in you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said, you got to let Him work in you. Yeah. Well, I'm in a hurry. Okay, then hurry up and work with Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thrilled with this tonight. If you don't like this, I'll take all the manna I'm giving you. I'll take it all home with me. This is where I've been at. This, when I wake up at 3 in the morning, which I've been waking up many, many mornings at 3 in the morning, I go back to sleep later. But this is where Pastor Jay is. It's you that works in me. I know this stir. I know what's going on. I know what this stirring in me is all about. See, it's not enough to know there's a stirring. You have to know it's not indigestion. You have to know this is my spirit that's being, something's being stirred in my spirit. So you have to know not only that something's stirring, you have to know what's stirring, and you have to seek God until you know what to do about it. And when you know what to do about it, he's prepared you, and that he's been working in you to get you ready for that. And you've been making all the adjustments, laying aside the weights, laying aside the distractions. You've been crucifying the flesh. You've been saying everything that I have and everything that I've been doing is all on the altar. It's all yours, Lord. Your will, not my will, be done. And when you've got to that place where you're dead to whatever it is you wanted to do.
Come on.
You find out what it is that stirring is all about, and then you lay it on the altar and say, okay, I'm yours, I'm willing and obedient, I'll go that direction. Oh, the glory. I said, oh, the glory. I said, oh, the glory. Hallelujah. God's plan in our lives has to develop, and that takes time sometimes for us, not for God. Doesn't take time for God, but it takes time for us. And then sometimes, I'm not necessarily talking about myself in this case, but sometimes other people are involved and they're slow to respond, and that's why things are taking time. That's why if you're single, believing God to be married, you should pray for that person, whoever it is. Somebody said, I don't know. God does. Father, work in him, work in her to will and to do of your good pleasure.
Amen.
Now, don't just stay focused on that. You know, realize that you have more authority in your own life to prepare for what God has for you than you do in their life. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, some things are up to other people responding to God. That's why some things are not as speedy as maybe they could be. Amen. You realize God not only has a will, that He has a way He wants to do that will. He's got somebody in mind that'll work best. Let's say you're single. He's got somebody in mind that'll work best. Now, I don't believe there's only one person that can fit that bill. Think about it. If there was only one person and that one person missed it, the chain reaction on that, everybody's in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. Amen. So you got to understand the way I say that. But God still does have somebody in mind that would be His first choice. Amen. Now, they disobey. God can make it to where the next person is still His first choice. And He'll work in them. Amen. Hallelujah. You realize, because if God has something in mind, if God has something in mind and He has a way He wants to do it and a person He wants to use, you realize that because that's what He has in mind, that's why we need to be led of the Spirit in using our faith and not just headlong going into something, you know, bullheaded and hard-headed. And you realize what I'm talking about? Not be living out of our mind, because we'll think that God wants to, okay, I got it figured out. God wants to do it this way, and He wants to do this person, and so forth and so on. Well, you might think that, but that might not be the way He's working. That's why we need to be led of the Spirit, because if He's working over there, He wants to lead you over there. And if we think, and we go over here because we think this is it, well, guess what? Over there's where the grace is. Over there's where He's working, and we're over here, and it's going to take a long time. Got to get it through our thick head. That's not it. Amen. God wants to use people in a lot of situations. I've had the Lord say to me, now, so-and-so, I want to use them in a certain way. And he said, I'm thinking of a situation. He said, if they don't pass this test right here, this decision, they don't follow the Spirit in that decision, but they follow their minds, he said, then what I planned, I'm being general here, but what I planned for you and your relationship with them, he said, you stop and don't go any further. He said, if they don't pass that test, he said, don't progress in any relationship with them. I'm talking about, it had to do with some things financially and stuff. Hello? Hello? Well, glory. Because really, they're going to be mental. They're going to get in a mental flow, and you can't work with that. You're going to be in a spiritual flow. They're going to be in a mental flow, and they're going to hinder you and slow you down, so you can't move with that. Pastor, I hope that wasn't me. Well, it doesn't matter if it was, because the people passed the test anyway, so. Ha! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Everybody still glad you came tonight? In Matthew 26:39, Jesus prayed the prayer of consecration. Father, if it's possible, let's do this another way. I got a better idea. Rather than me shedding my blood and dying and crown of thorns and a whip on my back and spear in my side and nails in my hands and feet, I got a better idea. If there's any way, let this cup pass from thee. But he ended it saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, but thine be done. There's a spiritual battle going on there, wasn't there? Within Jesus to surrender his will. To fulfill God's plan and go through with it. Amen. So Satan will bid high for you. The flesh will squeal. The mind will scream. No, don't. You don't want that. Most Christians have the idea that if they don't want it, God doesn't want it. That is deception. They don't know. They're not even mature enough to know the difference between their flesh and their spirit. So they don't know what they want. It's their flesh that doesn't want some things. Your spirit will be excited about some things that your flesh will go, ain't no way. Ain't no way. Amen. But you got to learn to live out of your spirit. And say, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law. And the flesh will say, you do not. You say, shut up. I'm not talking. I delight to do thy will, O God. Woo! Come on, let's go. Delight to do thy will. But most Christians don't live there. They just think, well, my flesh doesn't want this. I'm out of here. Amen. You know, Jesus got the strength and the ability that he needed for God's to fulfill God's plan and go through with it through prayer in the garden. Isn't that interesting? And the visitation of an angel in the garden. Uh-huh. What am I saying? I'm saying to you, there's help from heaven. I said, there's help from heaven to consecrate yourself to do His will. You're not on your own on this. You don't have to just sweat it out and grit it out. No, you got help. You got someone who is within you that is greater than anything that opposes you. And you can do this. You can consecrate yourself and say, Your will be done. Your will be done. You know, sometimes we don't even recognize what it is that needs to be worked on. But if we'll just pray this prayer, Lord, it's you that works in me to will and to do. Then he knows what it is that needs to be worked on, and he'll go to working on it. He'll start helping you. And something will start happening, stirring in you. I told you back when I was preaching on, it's him that works. A few weeks ago, I guess it was, him that works in you, will and do. The Lord said to me back a number of years ago, he said, there's some things that are going to have to be changed in you or you will never fulfill God, my plan for your life. But he said, he knew I'd respond to it. He wouldn't be able to say this to everybody, but he said it to me. He said, but it'll get done. So when Pastor Nancy was here during camp, winning was it one night or was that back in June? I don't recall. But she spent about 20 minutes at the beginning of one of the services talking about it's he that works in you to will and do. You don't know what that did for me. You don't know. Oh, I know, right? I know exactly what he's trying to do in me. Hallelujah. 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 Remember she talked about whenever, I guess there was a young girl, a young lady in her church that needed some dental work done or something. I forget what it was. And the dentist went to put his hands up there, and she would put her hands on his and pull them away. You remember that? And he said, honey, let me work. Let me work. We got to do that with God. Because he starts touching on something that's like, and we get our hands up there, no. And he said, no, let me work. Let me work. Let me work. Let me work. I'm not here to hurt you. Thank you, Lord. Let him work unhindered. Praise the Lord. Let's not clamp down on him when he goes to working on something. When he puts his finger on something that's been off limits to him, that we've said, Lord, everything's yours except this. And he puts his finger on it and we go, You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. Now, Philippians, we read 12 and 13, but if you go back to this is chapter 2, go back to verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it talks about him being equal to God, but becoming willing to become a man and even take on our sin and die for our sin, under our sin. And it talks about him, therefore God highly exalting him. Isn't that what that's saying? So if you read all the way through that, then it says, it's he that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So what's he saying? You read all the way through that passage and you see this. Notice he starts out in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is the mind being minded to be obedient to what He's working in you. Isn't that what the whole passage is talking about? It's talking about Jesus' obedience. It's talking about Him surrendering His will, surrendering His plan for the plan of the Father. Yeah, we're growing up now. See, church is not just all about learning how to receive a new car and poke your neighbor and say, boy, Pastor wouldn't be getting unction like this if you weren't finally getting rid of the bottle. I'm just so thankful. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many of you want to grow up? I'm growing up. So the mind of Christ is to be minded to be obedient to what He's working in you, to His good will and pleasure. What's your pleasure, Father? What do you want? See, to respond to that inner working so that God's will and pleasure is done is called obedience. Being willing and obedient. Lord, if this is what You want to do in me, my life is Yours. You know, stop saying, this is my life, I can do what I want. It's not your life. You called Him Lord. Amen. The Bible says it's no longer I that lives, it's Christ that lives in me. Amen. See, what the ultimate goal of your salvation is Christ-likeness. Just like Philippians 2 right here. He was willing. He had the mind to do the will of the Father. Christ-likeness. That's the ultimate goal of your salvation. Perfect conformity to His will. Amen. Now, you notice there it says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved brother, after looking at the perfect example, Jesus, it says, now, how about you? He turns his attention from Jesus to you and I and says, now, how about you and I? What about you and I? What mind are we going to have? We're going to be minded to do our own plan? Boy, I'm getting unction for grown-ups tonight. Listen to this is a commentary. It's probably one of my favorite commentaries. I don't always agree with commentaries. There's some things in every commentary that I don't agree with. But this is one. I like this one. It's called the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown Commentary. And it says in this is his commentary on verse 12. Wherefore, because he starts out in verse 12 saying, wherefore. And this commentary says, that means seeing that we have in Christ such a specimen of glory resulting from obedience. See that you also be obedient. Obedient to what? That working in you. That working in you. What's you going to do whenever he says, I want you to lay that hobby aside? Whenever he says, I want you not to watch so much TV. I want you to cut back on your internet time. I want you to give yourself to that time you're using on that. I want you to give yourself to this. What you going to do? Well, it's my life. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, you can do anything you want and do things your hard way and take forever to get into the plan of God and your whole life be lean and scrawny and just a little trickle blessing here and trickle blessing. Sure you can. Absolutely go for it. You can do it. God gave you a free will. But yet, right on the other hand, we should, because the price He paid for us to redeem us, our whole life should be His. Amen. And I like that. Seeing we have in Christ such a specimen of glory resulting from obedience. Woo! What's that glory? Notice it says that Christ in verse 5, he humbled himself, 6, 7, and 8 down through there. Verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus. See, God, he humbled himself to do the will of the Father, and God turned around and lifted him up into glory. You want your life to be glorious? You want your life to be high? You want your life to be just full of the power of God, full of the glory of God, full of the blessings of God? Right here it is. But the pace you and I go at is not up to God. It depends on how much of the mind of Christ you have in you. That determines the pace. You realize that you can say, well, this area is still mine and this area is still mine. That might work for a while, But to really get where you're going, eventually, everything has to be His. I'm not encouraging you to put off giving areas of your life to God. I'm just simply saying you might experience some of the blessings of God for a little while there, but there's going to come a time, God's saying, everything.
Everything. Yes,
everything. Right. Your whole life.
Yes,
your affections, your attention, your hobby, your thoughts, your time, your talents, your faith. First on my plan, not your stuff. First on my plan. Everything. 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 Everything is mine. Everything is mine. That's when you give Him everything, He can afford for you to experience all He has for you. Hallelujah. But it depends on how much you allow Him to work. You set the pace. Amen. You still out there? We're going to wrap up here. 2 Peter 3:9 in the Amplified. This is that verse that in the King James says God is not slack concerning His promises. I'm just going to read the Amplified, 2 Peter 3:9. Amplified says, "The Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what He promises." Ooh. He does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what He promises. According to some people's conception of slowness, there's a lot of people that think God is slow. Takes God a long time to get around to getting me where I'm going. But He said, God is not does not delay or is not tardy or slow about what He promises according to how some people's conception of slowness. But He is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient towards you. So who's waiting on who here? Hurry up, God. He's saying, hey, wait. I'm waiting on you. Maybe we don't see that, but that's what we need to have worked in us to see that. Long-suffering and extraordinarily patient. Boy, extraordinarily is one you should underline because He's been patient with you and me. Towards you, not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. Wow. Anything that seems delayed is because God is waiting on us to get ready for what He wants to do, to develop us. He's waiting on us to develop. Amen. You know, He's actually being good to us in some situations to not fully throw us into the fullness of His plan right now. It's so big, we would drown in it, like Noah. It took Noah 100, they say 100, some people say 120 years, whatever it was, to build the ark. He had to get ready for that flood. God waited till He was ready. Isn't that right? If He'd have gotten ready earlier, God would have sent the flood earlier. But Noah was real glad that he was ready whenever it came. Because what God's plan is for you and me, we'll drown in it if we're not ready for it. I don't know if you understand that or not. It's a little like a strong anointing coming on a young whippersnapper to minister in the body of Christ. And they get promoted and every visible and well-known real quick. And they don't have the character to handle that. Oftentimes come crashing down. Yeah, they basically drowned in the blessings of God. Not because God did it, because you can push. Listen to me. You can push and push and push and push into spiritual things and get into them before it's time. Somebody said nobody here would do that, except I did, before we came here to pastor. I remember I told you all hell broke loose, and the Lord said, pull back. You're not ready for that yet. Amen. Well, see, we're sober, a little sober tonight, aren't we? Hallelujah. Then let's finish this verse. They lusted exceedingly. This is the Amplified. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, Psalm 106, and tempted and tried and restrained God with their insistent desires in the desert. The desert symbolized the place of difficulty and tests and trials, which, by the way, Israel put themselves out there. God didn't put them out there. So they got out in the hard spot because of their own unwillingness to obey God. Got into some difficulties. and started insisting on some things. That's what he's talking about here. Y'all still there? When you're going through a hard place, learn, either because the devil's opposing you or you put yourself there through some sort of unwillingness or disobedience. You understand what I'm talking about? Learn to not get demanding with your fleshly desires. What is the main fleshly desire in a test and trial? Get me out of this test and trial. I don't like this. I don't like the way this feels. I don't like the way everything's going. I don't like what's happening. I don't like the way it's happening. I don't like who's here. I don't like... I don't like the scenery. Tired of looking at sand. Y'all still out there? I demand this. I demand that. I demand the other. Well, that's even making it worse. Amen. I don't know if I should go any further or not. I think we're getting... And you can just keep demanding, insisting, and God will eventually say, okay, but it gets you further and further away from His perfect will. People that are like that, they kind of think, I don't know what they think, but they think they're progressing or something. They're flunking. They're flunking God's plans. God's way of getting them into it. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought maybe we could praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when you start eating the result of what you keep insisting on, don't say, I don't know why God's allowing this or why He's doing this to me. He didn't do it. Amen. We keep insisting on things, and eventually you'll sense a release. God will say, okay, if that's what you want. Remember, Israel wanted a king. That's one of the best examples in the Bible. And God said, all right. But He warned them, this is what's going to happen as a result of that. This is the result, you know, that all the taxes and the oppression, and the, you know, big government and stuff like that. Which, by the way, if you want to know what God thinks about big government or small government, read that story. But see, the more people need to be controlled by laws and rules from the outside by an external force called government, the more they get that. The more people are self-governed and they control their flesh, the less they need big government. That's why our government's getting bigger and bigger, because more and more people need it to keep them right, to keep them from abusing one another and stuff like that. Well, anyway, that's all free. I won't charge you for that. Didn't plan on coming to church saying that, but it's came out. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. It's He that works in me. And I'm not going to just keep, you know, just keep kicking against that working. I flow with God, not kick against Him. Amen. Amen. Life's a whole lot better. Let me tell you this. Your faith will work a whole lot better just flowing with what the Spirit's working in you than it will you kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking and kicking. Amen. It's not a mark of intelligence to kick. It's a mark of ignorance. Amen.